I'm only here because Pastor Legault's not here. We all know. Amen, amen. Well, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Amen. Very familiar verse, and hear it mentioned many, many times, but I want to preach specifically about two things out of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so I look at this verse here, and I see there's two stipulations in order for this to apply to you. Number one, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. And because you cannot love God if you're not born again. You, as a lost person, for those who are not saved, you can't claim to love God if you reject His Son. You reject the free gift that was given to you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But if you reject God's gift, you're saying no to Jesus Christ, and you're saying no, essentially, to your salvation. The way for you to be saved, the sacrifice that God gave the world in His Son. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're rejecting God's gift, you're rejecting Him, you can't love Him. And so if you're not saved, all things are not going to work together for you. And number two, if you are saved, you need to love God, all right? And not only that, you need to love God, but you need to know God's will for you in your life. God has a purpose for every single one of you. That's something that this world doesn't have. There's these two things that we need to make sure that if those of us who are here, who are saved, are doing these things, that we love God and that we're constantly seeking His will. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we see that in this verse is talking about all things work together for good. And that's just meaning there's a lot of things that happen to us in our life, good and bad. In Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For He maketh His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Good things and bad things happen to everyone. It happens to everyone, the saved and the lost. But only those who are saved can God use those good things and those negative things for your good. The lost cannot claim that. Because you are a child of God, you can claim that all things work together for good. We're going to pray, and we got two things, and I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm not going to be long-winded tonight, and you guys will get out early, but Pastor Kenny said, we'll see. So I'm going to pray, and we'll get right into the message. Lord, I thank you so much for this night. Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sins. Lord, and I just pray that you would guide my thoughts and my heart. Lord, help me to preach exactly what you'd have me to say for your people here tonight. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be felt and it would be present with us tonight. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the first thing, number one, very simple question, but it's not as easy of an answer as you think it is. Do you love God? You know, when Brother Ken Dean was here preaching, I was talking to Pastor Legault and Pastor Kenny, some of the guys in the back room over there. He makes you feel a little uncomfortable. He makes you feel uncomfortable. He asked questions and he expected you to answer. You know, most preachers say, oh, this is a rhetorical question. But he expected you to answer. And he put you on the spot. And he made you feel uncomfortable. He made me feel uncomfortable. But that's, you know, a little bit of feeling uncomfortable in church, it's provoking you. It's a good thing. It's making you think. Are you truly being honest? Are you nervous about your answer? Because if you were to be 100% honest with you, you know what you start to worry about? What other people think about. What is everybody else going to think? If I answer this incorrectly, or if I answer this, and if I raise my hand here, what are people going to think? When in reality, the only one we should be caring about is the Lord and what He thinks. And if you're honest about it, we know that, do you love God? Love is a choice. It's a choice of the heart. Your love for God is revealed in the decisions that you make, in the choices that you make every day. And so your love for God is revealed by the choices that you make. The choices you make and the decisions that you make reflect your love for God. So can you say, can all things work together for good for you? Do you love, can you honestly say, I love God. Every decision that I make and the choices that I make are made because I love God. Can all things work together for good for you? Can you be 100% honest and say, I know I love God. My life shows that I love God. All the choices I make show that I love God. Do all things work together for good for you? I'm telling you right now, it's about your heart attitude. If you truly love God, and you love the Lord, and you're working hard to draw closer to Him and to pray, and build that relationship with Him and show God that you love Him, then you would understand that no matter what happens in your life, it's all for your good. It's about that attitude towards God, and you'll get that understanding as I love God, so no matter what happens to me in my life, I know it's in His hands, and He is under control. He has it in His control. No matter if you are going to understand how or why, you know that for somehow, some way, it's for your good. Regardless if you're going to understand it or not. There's going to be a lot of things in this life that I may not like. I will not like that I have to go through. And I don't understand, I may not understand exactly why God put me through something, but I love the Lord enough to know to say, you know what, Lord, even though I don't understand why you're putting me through this, why I'm going through this trial, you're right, you're good, and somehow this is going to affect me, and I'm going to come out better for it. And it's about that attitude and looking at that situation and saying, you know what, God knows what's best. I don't understand. This is good for me somehow, some way. Maybe someday I'll know. Maybe in glory. But it is good for you if you love the Lord. Do you love the Lord enough that you can reconcile that in your heart and your mind to say, no matter what, this is good for me? Do you love God or do you love yourself more? Because that's the only problem you're going to run into. Do you love God or do you love yourself more? Because that's going to affect the decisions that you make. The carnal Christian loves himself more than God. He cares more about his flesh and his desires in the world more than God. And so that's what's going to end up happening is if you love God, you'll make choices for him. And if you love yourself, guess what? God's not going to factor in as much. You know, you may go to church and you pray and you do the things that are right to do, but do you come here because you love God and you want to hear from God, or it's because it's the right thing to do? Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does this tell you? It tells you that, guess what? You can be saved. You could have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, accepted God's gift towards you, but guess what? You can still not love God as a Christian. You look back here in verse number 12. Who is it talking to leading up to verse 15? It says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome that wicked one. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can be a Christian, you can be saved, and you can still love this world, and the love of the Father is not in you. Why? Because you're living for yourself. If you love that world, you're saying, you know what, Lord, I care more about what I desire, what my flesh wants. I look at the things that are out there. I want those things. And you've decided, I love myself more than I love God. You can be saved and still not love the Lord. This is written to those who are saved. Look, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve yourself and God. You can't do it. You can't sit on the fence. You either love God or you love yourself. One of the things that Ken Dean says, if you truly loved God, then you would keep his commandments. Why don't you do it? Because you don't want to. Because you do love yourself, and you care about the things of yourself and your flesh and things of the world more than God. Do you love God? Then you know all things work together for your good. Truly think about that. Examine yourself. How much do you love God? Is he a factor in every decision that you make? And number two, see that? We're already at number two. We might get done here pretty early. Number two, because I only have 2 points. Do you live in the will of God? Do you live in the will of God? We see here, before salvation, you were a child of the devil. That's what it was. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you're a child of the devil. God is not your father. The devil is. And if you aren't saved, and before you were saved, you had no faith in Christ. Therefore, you could not give God the glory with your life. I preach on the street corner when I'm preaching out there, and I preach about how the people in this world, why do so many people commit suicide? Why do they kill themselves? So many lost people kill themselves because they feel like they have no value. Nobody cares about them. Nobody loves them. They don't have a purpose. And in reality, they don't have a purpose without Christ. God can use them as an example. The only purpose that God may have is maybe he's going to use them as an example to drive someone closer to him. But in reality, they're not giving God glory with their life. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and had your sins forgiven, you could then take your life and serve him and give him glory. You're not going to give God glory as long as you remain in your sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible. Therefore, if you're lost, if you're not saved, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by faith, right? Today, we have God's Word. God's Word is what tells us about the life of Jesus Christ and what he did. He was the Son of God. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you're going to get saved today, you have to believe by faith that this Word is true. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Those who are lost, those who do not put their faith in God, it is impossible to for them to please him, to give him glory. But as a child of God, he has a plan specifically for us. We continue in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. I think some of us, we seek him, but how well do you do on the diligently part? Diligently seek him. Consistently, earnestly, you want to know. I have to know. Lord, is this what you want me to do? Lord, is this where you want me to be? Is this my purpose? Are you diligently seeking him? As a child of God, he has a plan specifically for you. Are you seeking out that plan? Are you seeking out his perfect will? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're supposed to be proving these things. We're supposed to make ourselves a living sacrifice. That means giving up your carnal self, putting aside yourself, your desires, your wants, become a living sacrifice, and proving your life and seeking the Lord and finding out his perfect will for you. That is what our goal is. Is the Apostle Paul is beseeching you and begging you to do this. Listen, God is not hiding his will from you. But he wants you to prove yourself. He wants you to seek him diligently. And when you show him your honesty and he sees your concern and he sees your seriousness, he says, he's ready for me to reveal unto him what I have for him. He wants to see your sincerity. He wants to see that, and then he reveals unto you what you need, what his will is for you in your life. He's not trying to hide it from you. He wants to give it to you. How much do you want to know it? Many of you do not seek the will of God because you don't want to know the will of God. You have a desire. You know what you want. You know what your will is. But if you find out what God's will is, you're afraid you're going to have to say no or turn him down. God wants you to live in his perfect will. But when you find it, if you know you're doing exactly what the Lord... Listen, you love God and you seek his will and you're like, you know what? I know I'm supposed to be right here at Emmanuel. I'm supposed to serve here, work a job, serve here, and be a blessing to my pastor, to my church. I know this is what the Lord wants me to do. And if you know that, guess what? You're going to have a peace that passeth all understanding. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you're in God's perfect will, you love him and you know you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, you have a peace that passeth all understanding, a peace that this world will never have. Because why? Because you have a purpose. You have a reason to live. That's to give God glory with your life. Amen. And so if you're seeking to do that, then you have nothing to worry about. You have a peace that passeth understanding. Why do you have that peace? Because you know that all things will work together for your good. Those things that happen in your life are just leading you and guiding you and directing you into his more perfect will. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose. And you're fulfilling those things and you recognize, you know what? I have that peace that passeth all understanding because this is for my good. No matter what happens, this is for my good. It is for you're fulfilling your purpose. According to Romans chapter 8, 28. Do you love God? Do you love him? Do you show it in the choices that you make, the decisions that you make? Or do you love yourself more? It doesn't reflect that you love yourself more than you love God. Are you in God's perfect will? Are you diligently seeking that? We ought to be seeking God's will, God's perfect will. And if you already know it, then you have that peace. And you have that, and you have that understanding that, you know what, I love God. I know I'm doing what He wants me to do. I'm where He wants me to be. And everything that happens to me in my life is going just according to His plan. It's for my good, and He's going to take care of me. When you can say yes to both of these questions, do you love God and are you in God's perfect will? And you can say yes to both of these questions, there's no doubting everything happens for your good. There's no doubting. Do you love God? Are you in God's perfect will? If you are, if you could say yes to both of those questions, there's no reason to doubt. Everything happens for your good. We just have to make sure we have the right heart attitude to see it that way. The only thing that keeps us from seeing that way is when we start to get carnal, when we start to get selfish, we start thinking about ourselves instead of God's plan. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You so much that You're such a great God who loved us enough to send His Son. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to strive to love You, to know You better, to constantly seek and be diligent in finding out what Your will is for our life. Lord, and only then we can truly have that peace that passeth all understanding and understanding that it all is for our good. I love You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.